Hello, and welcome to the World Massage Conference. We're very excited to be bringing you this special feature presentation as part of our ongoing bonus series. I'm your host, Melanie Hayden, and along with my World Massage partners and co-hosts, Eric Brown, Scott Dartnell, and Marla Gold will be working with us tonight. So they'll be monitoring the chat room, and they'll also be presenting the questions at the end of the broadcast that Angie is doing, or at the end of the presentation. You'll have the opportunity to ask some questions. So actually throughout the presentation, you'll notice that on that navigation site, there's a little box that says ask a question. And if you're looking at the slides, you actually all you have to do is click the listen in button, and then a little question box will pop up. Pop your question in there, put your name in there, click submit, and then just click back on the slides button, and that will bring you to the slides. And you can also enter the chat room. That's a lot of fun. You'll start to see that there's lots of people coming on into the chat room. Pop in there and see who's in there and where they're from as you enjoy the presentation. And Angie has created some presentation notes for us today, some really good detailed presentation notes. And you'll see the link on the site there, presentation notes. You can click there and download those for yourself while we go through the presentation or certainly afterwards if you like. And you'll also see links on there for the World Massage Conference that will take you to that site that will have all of the information from the 2008 World Massage Conference. You can still access all the presentations on that. And to our sponsor links, Massage Envy and Massage Warehouse. And this special presentation this evening is brought to you by the World Massage Conference. And that's Eric Brown, Scott Dartnell, and myself, Melanie Hayden, as sponsors. And then we want to thank our global sponsor, Massage Envy. At Massage Envy, they take care of everything from marketing to scheduling to suppliers, so their therapists can totally focus on sharing their gifts of touch with their members and guests. Visit MassageEnvyCareers.com to apply for an exciting career in your area in the United States. And thank you to our special presentation sponsor, Massage Warehouse. Massage Warehouse provides massage therapists and related industry professionals with the largest selection of quality products at a great value. Visit their website at massagewarehouse.com. It's through the support of our sponsors and the presenters themselves who have given so generously of their time that we're able to bring you this special presentation. We'd also like to thank the trade show sponsors of the World Massage Conference and invite you to check out the virtual trade show on that website where you'll find lots of great product and service providers to help you grow your business. In this presentation this evening, we feature Angie Patrick, and she'll be talking about choosing professional products while keeping your costs down. This insightful presentation will give you a head start in making some money-saving decisions that still enable you to provide quality care for your clients without resorting to substandard equipment and supplies. You can make some simple changes in your business that can save money and put more black ink into your checkbook. Are you buying wisely? Do you pay for your products in a way that will save you money and gain you perks? If not, listen in and see how making a few changes in your routine can net you some big financial results. I'd like to introduce our presenter, Angie Patrick. Angie is a Reiki practitioner and a certified reflexologist. She has been active in the massage industry for well over 10 years and with Massage Warehouse since 2001, involved in product development, management, and sales. She currently serves as the Director of Business Development for Script Companies and Massage Warehouse, and she's a regular columnist for Massage Today. Angie is also a facilitator of the philanthropic project Sanctuary, benefiting massage therapy research. She's also a regular columnist for the popular massage industry publication Massage Today. I think I mentioned that one. Angie, welcome to the World Massage Conference special presentation. Thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing this really pertinent and timely information.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here with you guys. I think that the Massage Therapy Radio is an innovative, very new way to get information to the therapists out there that maybe they wouldn't hear elsewhere. And just really, really a fantastic vehicle to share the news with the industry that we all love. So thank you so much for creating Massage Therapy Radio and for inviting me to be a part of it with you. I thank you very much.
Great. Well, I'm excited to have you here. And again, just certainly, your topic of discussion will be welcomed by the by the professionals, I'm sure. So I'll let you get started.
Awesome. Thank you so much. My presentation today I'm calling Making Professional Choices. It's how to choose professional products while keeping your costs down. And I think we all know that the economic climate globally is insistent upon we all making changes to the way that we do business in order to maintain and to make it through this little turmoil that we're all going through globally. So I don't have all the answers, but I do have a few tips and a few things that I've learned along the way that may benefit you and may help you to add more black ink to your bottom line and to sustain your career for a longer period because you're able to make a living. Next slide, please. This slide is being product savvy and cost conscious is a good thing. I happen to live that mantra. I don't consider myself cheap by any means. I am frugal and I'm an informed consumer, especially when it comes to products and services that are pertinent to my career. In my years at Massage Warehouse, I've learned a few things about professional products and the conservation of funds, and I have spoken with literally hundreds of thousands of therapists. I used to be in the call center back in the early days of Massage Warehouse, and I would speak to hundreds of people every day who've shared with me their ideas regarding cutting costs as well as maintaining a professional appearance while continuing to meet your clients' expectations. Well, that's a pretty big request, but it is doable. In today's economic climate, it's more important than ever to purchase wisely, market your practice economically, and make informed financial decisions. So my goal is in this presentation, I'd like to look at some of the questions that I hear and explore easy-to-achieve cutbacks and professional product choices that do not impact your ability to provide quality therapy and care for your clients, but instead you may find that they actually enhance your practice in ways that you were not expecting. Next slide, please. What is the difference in consumer-grade products and professional-grade products? You know, I talk all the time in my column about professional-grade products, and I talk about those in school, and there is a significant difference. Professional, let's talk about tables and lubricants. One of the biggest mistakes you can make is to utilize products that are not intended for professional usage. Not all products are created equally. There are definitely significant differences. First of all, let's look at tables. Professional-grade tables are designed for the everyday, repeated, and tremendous rigors that a therapist practice are going to demand. You're going to have people on the table, off the table, on the table, off the table, people sitting in the middle of the table, people moving the table. You're going to break it, set it up, break it down, set it up, break it down. This is a big, rigorous activity for any table, and it needs to be built to be able to withstand that, whereas the difference would be a consumer-grade table, meaning one that would be used for home use, is never meant for that. It's meant for far less frequent home usage, so it's not built to withstand the daily demands of a professional therapist's practice. That being said, let's take a moment to look at lubricants. Professional-grade lubricants are designed for the long-term and continuous exposure to the therapist's hands, and they're formulated and manufactured with this in mind, whereas consumer-grade products can be found in discount clubs, in pharmacies, and they're not designed and manufactured for this purpose, but rather for once or twice daily or single usage. Maybe they're to be used or put on the skin once or twice a week. Even if it's every day, once a day, that is a far cry from something that you're going to want to immerse your hands in and day out and expose your body to. Your client may see it only once a day or once a week, but you will have your hands involved in this product daily from sunup to sundown. So you're going to want to make an informed decision about the type of products that you come in contact with as a professional massage therapist. Next slide, please. I kind of did this kind of on a humorous level. Would you want your mechanic to buy his tools from a public discount club? Well, what about your surgeon or your chiropractor? Well, It's no more acceptable for a mechanic to buy their tools or parts from the dollar store than it would be for a professional massage therapist to buy their supplies from a discount members only club or a drugstore. Just as professional tools are utilized by both surgeons and chiropractors for their dependability and their long life, so should they be used by a professional massage therapist. The bottom line is if you wish to be perceived as a leader in your field and a professional, you must first see yourself and your practice as such. And a telltale sign of that would be the quality of the products that you use. Next slide, please. Does a table have to be expensive to be a good table? Well, I happen to know a good bit about tables. As working at Massage Warehouse, I sell many, many of the industry leaders' tables, and I've had to immerse myself in how to reach a place where you know that you've made a confident decision, and what features are you looking for, what do you need. So does a table have to be expensive to be a good table? No, it does not have to be expensive. That is not the case any longer. Back in the day, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it really was an indicator of the quality of the table. But times have changed, and the manufacturers have become even more savvy in the way that they're producing products. So, yeah, it no longer holds true that the more money you spend, the better table you have necessarily. Believe it or not, buying a table, this decision isn't driven necessarily by your budget alone. Once you have decided and got in your mind your intended use, you can weigh out the benefits of an open-ended model like a starter one or a student table as opposed to a more professional grade, higher-end, more bells and whistles table. For instance, an average consumer wanting a massage table in their home will not have the same requirements for a professional massage table that a therapist would have. Their needs are different, so you need to assess the table to see if it's going to meet your needs. There's a lot of great looking tables at places like discount clubs and on auctions online and importers that are bringing in no name, untried in the therapist market tables. And they all sound like a really good deal because they're inexpensive. That is why they're consumer grade tables, because they don't have the same makeup. They don't have the same qualities as a professional grade piece of equipment. It is very much important to recognize those differences. And some will tell you when you're going to buy your table, so you're going to get advice from people because people like to give advice. Some are going to tell you to buy the most expensive table you can because they equate the cost with the quality, while others are going to tell you to spend as little as possible because they're actually penny wise and they're pound foolish. But the truth is, high cost doesn't equate to quality, and an expensive table is not always the lesser quality table when comparing the two in a professional environment. The most important thing to remember is to buy professional grade equipment for your practice always, but you do not have to spend a great deal to spend wisely. The most economical purchase that a massage therapist can make is an informed purchase. Invest in a product that can withstand repeated usage day after day, and one that it's definitely far more economical than replacing a table every 3 years. So over the long haul, what features will withstand the ravages of the time and usage? Comparing your wood, your vinyl, hinges, face rests, joints, and support cables can help you decide what table is going to fit your need. You know, when I was first starting out in massage, I was looking for a table, and I kind of equate this to when I was trying to buy my first car, and I'll share a story with you. You know, when you're starting out and you need to go out and you need to make money and you need a means to do that, but you don't have a whole lot to invest, it doesn't make sense when you're trying to buy an automobile for someone who is just getting started to go out and buy a Lexus. I mean, unless you're just made of money and got an inheritance or won the lotto, the rest of us have to worry about every penny. So it just made sense to find something economical and something sound. Well, I found that in a Honda, and it wasn't the most elegant, but it certainly was functional, and I drove that car for 20 years. So it was an exceptionally good investment. It didn't cost me a lot of money. I did my comparison shopping, and I realized that I had bought the best quality table for the amount of money, best quality car that I had for the amount of money that I had at the time. So now I've got a vehicle that got me back and forth to work, helped me pay my bills, it helped me put a roof over my head, it got me from point A to point B, and now I little later had a little bit of money in the bank. Well, it's time to buy a new car. So what I did was I kind of considered, well, you know, this car didn't cost me a fortune, and it's been a good car, but now I can afford a few more bells and whistles. But does that mean I need to go spend all of the money that I worked so hard for to go out and just buy all the bells and whistles without having a return on my investment valid enough to make that purchase a smart purchase? No, I ended up going and buying another Honda. I bought a little kicked-up version of the Honda, but I still bought something that met my needs, that was within my budget, that made sense for me at the time. So I kind of equate those two things as being very, very similar in that when it's time to buy your first table, buy a professional table. Don't buy a piece of junk. And then secondly, when it's time to replace your table, maybe you're expanding or maybe you're doing something, you're partnering with someone or you're opening a spa, and it's time to look at other equipment, don't fall into the ruse where you feel like you have to spend a ton of money in order to get quality. Today's market is a very competitive market, and that is just simply no longer the case. Next slide, please. When we're looking for professional-grade tables, you hear me say that about 850,000 times, but it's something I'm very, very passionate about. How do you know what you're looking for? What features are you looking for so that you know that you're buying a product that can withstand the rigors that you're putting it through? Well, there are a lot of important pieces, but one of the most important pieces, I think, are your hinge. This hinge is the weakest part of your table. Inherently, if you think about it, the wood itself is going to be very strong. You've got wood fibers that intermingle with one another that create a cohesive bond, and wood is very, very strong. In the case of a hinge, you've got a number of screws holding it in place, and it's just a thin piece of metal holding two pieces of your table together. So this is a very large consideration when you're thinking about daily usage. You're thinking of people climbing onto your table, plopping down in the center of your table. I would suggest that you look for a table that offers a piano-length hinge, and what that means is really a full-length hinge from almost the end to end of the table. What this does, rather than having, and we've all seen those tables that have the multiple hinges, when you have multiple hinges, you run a greater risk of torque. And what that is a twist in your table where those screws are going to come loose or work their way out or strip. When you have a piano hinge, this is a rigid body across the entire width of the table, and it's going to create an environment that resists torque. It's going to resist that bending of the wood. So you're going to have a stronger adhesion between the two sides of the table, which means when someone does decide they're going to plop down in the middle of your table, you have a lot less likelihood of it crashing and burning to the floor. Another thing that I'd like to encourage you to look for are dual wheel knobs. Now, that seems like it should be a given, but there are tables on the market that have single wheel knobs. I like the dual wheel knobs because it's just a safety net. I mean, in a world where people are litigious and can sue you for the slightest thing, the last thing you want to have happen is you have forgotten to tighten the one wheel knob on your leg, and then the client hits the floor because it's loose, and next thing you know, they're suing you. This is just a little insurance policy. It doesn't cost anything extra, but it's inherently a necessity if you're a professional massage therapist, because it does add that greater stability and that one more fail-safe and give the support to the client that you need. The center of your table is the weakest point. Again, the legs, too, are a weak point because, as you know, if the legs are adjustable, they slide on one another and they're held together in place by the wheel knob. By utilizing two of them, you can certainly avoid mishaps and hopefully protect yourself against future lawsuits. Next slide, please. One of the other things that you're going to want to look for are tables that have obvious strength and stability. Now, what do I mean by obvious? You're going to want to look for tables. You're going to want to be able to get underneath them or find out the statistics. Go on the website of a manufacturer to see what you can learn. You're looking for strong corners and support struts at the center of the underside of the table. These provide added strength to the table. Also look at the underside to seek out evidence of any bad wood, darkened, or weakened spots, or any kind of knots on the wood. That is evidence, and you see that a lot in consumer-grade tables because, again, they're not meant to be used every day. If you climb up on the table and you climb up on your hands and knees and you've got your knee in a bad piece of wood or in a knot, well, that's a compromising place. It's going to fail. If you're a big enough client, if your client is big enough, if you're adding extra weight, you don't want to have any known reasons why the wood would fail. So do take an opportunity to avail yourself of the website of the manufacturers to look at the types of woods that they utilize. You're going to want to avoid soft woods, which means they equate really to low weight support and can result in your table warping. Great woods to look for are oak, birch, bamboo, and maple. These are hardwoods that are dense, they're strong, and they can withstand a great deal of abuse. And ideally, tables made from these substances can outlast the softer woods from warmer climates. You're going to also want to look for rubberized footings on the bottom. Some tables, some of the consumer-grade tables have a hard plastic foot on the bottom, and if you can imagine how that would slide if you're on a tile floor or if you're on a vinyl floor, as in a school, the table can slide, which means when you're applying pressure to your client, it can slide. It can slide out from under you if you're applying enough pressure. It can move 2 to 3 inches. Worrisome for the client, even more worrisome for you, because that kind of slippage can result in an injury for you. And, of course, if you're injured, you're unemployed. So take that consideration out and have rubberized feet on the bottom for stability. Next slide, please. There are a number of modalities that require working on the floor. So one of the things that you're going to want to look for, like if you practice shiatsu or I think it's Feldenkrais, there are a number of modalities that would require your table to lie flat on the floor. You're going to need to look for the shiatsu cable release. Now, that's a big word to say it's a wing nut at the joint of the leg. If you don't see the wing nut, you don't have shiatsu cable release, and your table's not going to lie flat on the floor. To make your table lie flat, you just simply loosen that wing nut, remove the cables, and your table's legs will fold completely underneath, and your table will be able to be used flat on the floor. So that's a really great feature for the professional. You never know when you're going to branch out, try other modalities, and even though shiatsu may not be your cup of tea right now, who's to say in 4 years it might not be, and to have this already on your table as a feature or a benefit on your table can just expand your ability to expand your modalities at a later date. When we're talking about the finish of a table, you're going to want to look for a fabric-wrapped edge that is stapled securely to the underside of the table. You're going to want to make sure that there's enough fabric and that enough fabric was used to avoid risking the staples pulling out during use. I have seen some tables on the market that just barely wrap that vinyl around the bottom. And the first heavy person you get on that table, the staples are going to pull, and then you've got loose vinyl on your table. Not pretty. So what you're going to want to do is make sure that you're buying a table that has the vinyl that is wrapped securely so that when you have, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 clients a day, even more in a spa, if it's a room that's shared by therapists, you're going to want to make sure that the fabric is going to be able to withstand the sliding on and the sliding off. But one cost-saving feature I'd like to tell you about is the vinyl. There's a lot of talk about the different types of vinyl. The vinyls are one upgrade offered by many table manufacturers. And to me, I never quite really understood it, because the fact is your client never touches the vinyl. So the investment of $100 to $200 to have an upgraded, softer vinyl never really quite made sense to me in that respect, because by the time your client gets on the table, your table's fully dressed. It should have a table warmer, a fleece pad, a set of sheets. So by the time you've got all these additives on your table, how is your client going to know, ooh, they paid extra for this soft vinyl? they're not going to know. So save yourself that money. Invest in other things like bolsters and adjustable face rests and memory foam pads. Those are additives that can add luxury to your table with that they can feel, that they can touch, instead of an intangible that they really won't know the difference anyway. Next slide, please. How do I know that my table is well built? And what about the foam? Is it really important? Oh, yes, that foam is very important. The discount tables or discount club tables will often have, like a consumer grade table, 2 to 2.5 inches of single layer foam or less. This is not built to withstand repeated usage on a professional level. These tables are better suited for the consumer who's looking for a table for home use. For better comfort over the lifespan of your table, I highly recommend tables with double or triple layered 2.5 inch foam or higher. Most professional grade tables have a multi-layered 2.5 to 3 inch or higher foam system, but they're built to withstand the needs of the professional user. Multiple layers of foam densities are varied and can help prevent the client from eventually bottoming out on the platform of the table. The densities of the foam would vary. You would have your most dense foam on the platform of the table. Your second layer would be a little bit softer, and the top layer would be the thinnest layer, but it would be the cushiest layer. So what your client feels is comfort and softness, but you also have those thicker density foams that can help you avoid getting your table. You've all seen tables that have the pit in them where people have laid on them over and over and over again. Those are single layer foam, and the foam breaks down over time. So with repeated usage, you need a foam that's going to withstand and push back a little bit, but you need that also. You also need that top layer of softness for your client. So definitely there is a difference in foam systems. And do your research, go online and compare the different manufacturers. And I think it would certainly help you in making a good, wise decision. Next slide, please. Now, on this slide, we're looking at some of the things that people compare when, and I think this is a very smart thing to do, to kind of make a list of features that you're looking for and benefits to buying this table, manufacturer's warranties, not the least of which, and compare them. Take notes, make a chart for yourself when you're comparing these things, and it's really a pros and cons list. excuse me. When we're looking at the compared features, weight. Well, is the weight of the table really important? Well, most wooden portable tables weigh in ranges of 30 to 38 pounds. You can also purchase some really well-made aluminum models that are only 21 to 29 pounds. You should really think about how often you're going to be transporting your table. If you're planning to do out calls, then weight's definitely going to be a factor. You need to keep in mind your carry case is additional weight. And most of the time when table weights are advertised on a website or in a flyer or in a catalog, it's just strictly the table. You've got other items that you're going to be carrying around as well, like the carry case, the face cradle, set of sheets, maybe a fleece pad, a table warmer, oils, tools, bolsters. All of this is going to add weight to your transport. So it's important to choose a quality carry case with cross-body carry straps to minimize the wear and tear on your body. But one of the best things I think that was ever invented was this really cool little thing called the table cart. These fabulous little devices are just fantastic for mobile therapists and can alleviate much of the transport woes for your table and the peripheral products. Thanks to the genius of this cart, you can consider a heavier table and know that you will only be lifting it in and out of a car rather than carrying it from the car to the client's door and up the stairs and down the escalator and through the elevator. You don't have to carry it. All you're doing is pull it. So that being the case, you don't necessarily have to consider, if you're going to buy the table cart as well, don't let weight be the deciding factor, because no longer do you have to schlep this thing on your back. It's simply pulled. The next thing you want to look at are the width. What table width do I need? This is one of the biggest reasons that massage therapists return tables to the manufacturer. It's the biggest reason for buyer's remorse. The old adage that bigger's better doesn't always apply to massage tables. You know, your own body style has a great deal to do with the width of the table that you're going to need and find most comfortable to use day after day. If you choose a table too wide for your body type, you can begin using improper body mechanics and cause yourself discomfort and stress on your lower back. In most cases, if your height is approximately 5'4 to 6'5, I suggest the usage of a table from 29 to 31 inches. The most popular and widely recognized industry standard table is a 30-inch table. Most tables sold in the United States and in Canada are 30 inches in width. Of course, if you're doing sports massage, you're going to have a less wide table. If you're dealing with football players, obviously you're going to want a little greater width to accommodate. But those are the extremes, and they're outside the norm rather than being the norm. Typically, a 30-width table is the standard, and it accommodates most therapists. A large percentage of clients will fit comfortably on this size table. If you're more petite, you may want to consider a table that's only 28 to 29 inches wide. If you're taller, you may want to go to a 32-inch table. Ultimately, you're going to want to be able to reach the center of that table and work the center back of the client without using improper body mechanics. Because, again, all the money-saving tips in the world won't help you if you've hurt yourself and you're unemployed. So you've got to make the professional choice for you and not something that is not going to fit your body style. The working weight of a table is the weight of the client with the amount of torque that you're applying. So you're going to want to look and compare working weights. Typically, they run anywhere from 400 to 900 pounds, depending upon the type of work that you're doing. Of course, if Swedish massage is your forte, you don't need a tremendous working weight. If deep tissue is, you're going to want to look for a greater working weight. We've already discussed foam density. Length of the table, standard length is 72 to 73 inches long. If you need anything longer than that, if you're working on basketball players or people who are exceptionally tall, you can buy table extenders that fit in the headrest holes. So really the standard, I wouldn't take the extra income and spend it on a longer table. It just simply doesn't make financial sense, not when there's an inexpensive additive to be used in the place of having that as a permanent fixture on your table. The height range. Height ranges don't typically cost a lot of money if you're going for a different height range, but be smart about the way that you're doing that. Table heights determined by practitioner stature and the modality that they're practicing. The majority of portable tables on the market today can adjust to a varied height of 24 to 34 inches or higher. This can accommodate most needs and is widely accepted as the average. Some modalities require the table to adjust lower or even lie flat on the floor. For example, Shiatsu and Feldenkrais both require the lower adjustment, so look at your needs to determine if this is a feature you really want to use in your regular practice. Keep in mind proper body mechanics when you're considering the table. You do not want to lean over too far and cause stress on your back. Conversely, you do not want to stand on your toes to reach the mid-back of a client. So protecting your own health is paramount. So definitely work to make the right decision as far as that is concerned. It's very, very important to the longevity of keeping you in the profession. We've already discussed the Shiatsu cable. For a moment, let me talk about the end plates. End plates are the end part of the table, and some are built to allow you to get underneath the table in a seated position if you're working under the client's head or if you're working under their feet. They call it a Reiki end plate. I'm not quite sure why it's called a Reiki end plate, because it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with Reiki, but that's what it's called. And those are becoming more and more standard on a table. Don't spend the extra money, though, if you're not in a modality or practicing a modality that requires you to sit down and get up underneath the table for the client. It's going to be a waste of money for you. In most cases, many tables have one of each type of end plate on each end. There's a couple of manufacturers utilizing that technology now, and for the most part, most tables come now with Reiki end plates. But if you're looking at a table and there's an upcharge for the Reiki end plate and you don't necessarily feel like you're going to need it, don't invest the money. It doesn't change the workability of the table at all. It doesn't impact the stability of the table at all. You're going to want to look for your warranties. Compare your warranties. Many, many, many of the manufacturers are now offering a limited lifetime warranty on the structure, even on their opening end tables. So you can effectively find a wonderful table under $300 that has a lifetime warranty on the structure. Most tables are going to have a limited warranty on the vinyl because vinyl is subjective. That's one thing that can tear if you keep your keys in your pocket or if you drag it on the ground getting it out of the car. You know, manufacturers are not going to warranty that forever. You might get a year to 5 years depending on usage, and that's going to have some exclusions in the event of an accident. That's not going to be covered. But for your structure, you're going to want to have a limited lifetime warranty. You know, obviously, if you're going to have people jumping up and down on your table, you're not going to be covered. But if in standard usage the structure fails, you could own that table for 70 years and then call up the manufacturer and say, hey, I got a problem, and they're going to replace that table for you. This is where low cost does not necessarily mean inefficiency. If a company has gone to the extreme to offer a limited lifetime warranty on a structure, they believe in that product. They believe that it's not going to fail. Otherwise, why put that warranty on there? It's going to cost them money in the long run. So that's where the industry has certainly taken a turn to offer some low-cost alternatives that are quality products. Look for package inclusions that can save you money. Many of the tables are purchased in packages now rather than buying each component separately, which can be costly. Look for table packages that have the face rest, the bag, maybe a set of sheets or a bolster, any combination of items that you typically would buy separately. If you can get them included in the cost of your table package, well, that's even better. And what makes it with a cherry on top is if they offer free shipping on this package. Many manufacturers offer free shipping on their packages where they don't necessarily offer that on just a plain table purchase. So do your homework, do the comparisons, compare those features, and I think you're going to come out with a product that really suits your needs. Next slide, please. Do I need an adjustable headrest? I've been asked that question. I must have been asked that question 1,000 times. In a word, yes, most assuredly so. You only get one chance to make a positive first impression, and when it comes to the comfort of your client, nothing should be left to chance. There's a wide variety of manufacturers producing adjustable headrests, and most are well worth the investment. A few things to look for are quiet release knobs, easy adjustment, and overall strength. Your clients will feel you've provided a more personalized treatment if you can adjust the headrest to fit their own personal comfort level. To go one step beyond the adjustable cradle, perhaps you could consider a memory foam face rest. These are not very expensive, but this table additive can enhance the overall massage experience by reducing facial pressure points and preventing sinus pain. Another benefit to this product is it can also make the best of a standard non-adjustable platform if budgetary constraints are really an issue. In most cases, manufacturers offer their table packages with the deluxe adjustable face rest, so it's already there for you. So in conclusion, in talking about the tables, let me just give you a few maintenance tips that can elongate the lifespan of your table and save you money in the long run having to replace it. Just as with your car, your truck, or your lawnmower, any other equipment you depend on, your table requires maintenance. I suggest going over your table at least daily to make sure that the wheel knobs are securely tightened. Check your table legs to inspect for any fractures or cracks that may have developed. If you have screws or bolts, you're going to want to check them to make certain that they're tight and secure. If you take the time to make sure your table is performing up to par, you're going to lessen the likelihood of mishaps and table failures. There are many manufacturers and retailers that provide professional products. Most have very informative websites you can peruse and see images of the tables before you buy them. Do your research online and make the comparisons. You are now armed completely, I think, with some knowledge that should help you make that table choice a little bit easier and not make the mistakes and fall into the pitfalls of investing in things that really are not going to impact your practice at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you're looking for usability, you're looking for comfort, you're looking for practicality. And if you have all of those things in a expensive table, that's great if you can afford it, but you can find those things in a less expensive table now, thanks to the innovations of some of these fantastic table manufacturers. So, next slide, please. Which brings us to lubricants. So, how do you know? There's like, it astounds me how many lubricants there are in the market and how many manufacturers have got a different spin or a different take or a different offering or a different hook, if you will. So how do you know? How in the world do you know what to choose? Well, the first thing you should know is you should have an understanding of what the lubricants are customarily used for and for which modality. Each type of lubricant is created for a specific type of usage, and although some therapists use them for other things, I'm going to give you the basic uses for the basic oils, lotions, and creams. Some therapists think, you know, they won't fall into this category. Everybody obviously has their own opinion, but for the majority of the people that I speak with on a daily basis, I'm going to give you a basic outline of what these items are used for. In Swedish effleurage, you're going to want to use oil. Next slide, please. I'm sorry. Oils are used in Swedish effleurage and sometimes deep tissue. They're used because they have a greater slip and a greater glide. They provide far less friction and more sweep over the skin. This is great for use in any modality you wish to reduce friction. Oils do not have to cost a fortune. As a matter of fact, many of them really don't. They're very cost effective. There are a number of manufacturers out there making quality, lower cost oils that will work well in any practice. This type of product can usually be pumped easily and can be used directly from a holster. Next slide, please. Lotions. If you do deep tissue work, you may find that lotions work best for you. Not only will it not leave your skin greasy, it's likely not to stain your sheets as well. This medium does not allow a great deal of glide or slip and will allow for greater grip and trigger point positioning. This type of product can usually be pumped and can easily be used from a holster. Next slide, please. Creams have much greater flexibility. They can be used in virtually any modality. They have properties that can mimic those of oils and lotions. Predominantly, it just provides a smooth feel to the touch, and it leaves the skin non-greasy and well-nourished. It stays on the skin longer, allowing for less product usage overall, so it is a little more cost-effective to use the cream. This can offset the fact that it is often a bit more expensive than oils or lotions. However, many manufacturers now produce high-quality creams that are not priced to break the bank. So definitely do your research, do your comparisons on brands, and see which one you think are going to work for you, because they're not, and not all creams are compatible with pumps. So if you are relying on your pump in your holster, you're going to need to ask the manufacturer or ask your retailer, is this a pumpable cream? Is this going to work in my pump? Because many, many of them are not. And the time to find that out is not when you've purchased it and you've opened it and you've got it home, because by the time you open an oil, lotion, or cream, you own it. It's not returnable because of cross-contamination issues in most cases. So certainly do your research and ask your retailer. If you could change the screen, please. Next slide. Gels can offer you the best of two worlds. It's kind of an amalgam of an oil and a lotion. It's somewhere in between. The viscosity is somewhere between an oil and a lotion, and they're a great option. They're inexpensive, and they can easily be pumped and used from a holster. They provide great slide for Swedish modalities and still allow for improved grip when working deep tissue. This type of product is also pumped easily and can be used from a holster. Next slide, please. On the downloaded notes to this presentation, on the last page you're going to find a quick reference guide. I've included the chart at the end of the discussion notes that provide an at-a-glance peek at what the majority of massage therapists recommend for specific modalities. As all therapists differ, some may choose to utilize another lubricant choice, but for the majority of therapists, I believe that this chart will depict the typical uses. I hope that you find this useful when you're in search of the lubricant of choice. And I certainly would encourage you to ask for samples from your distributors, from whomever you're buying from. And if that's not possible, there are other means by which to try this product, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. Next slide, please. Should I shop different brands? Well, there are those folks who are so brand loyal because they've been in the business for so long, and gosh, this is what I went to school with. This is what my instructor taught me to use. I am used to this product. I will never change from this product. Why in the world are people so closed-minded? Because there has been a tremendous amount of research and a whole lot of quality manufacturers that have come on the scene that can offer a comparable product, if not a better product, at a better price. Changes in skincare technology have prompted many changes in the lubricant market. Manufacturers have become far more savvy in the ingredients that they use and the overall effects the products have on the skin. In other words, you know, it's okay to branch out and try something new because there's so much out there. It's just a smart idea to stay in touch with the new ideas and lubricants. Here's a few ideas that you can try to get new products, and it doesn't have to break the bank. When you're looking for new products, always ask your supplier if they have samples. Sometimes manufacturers will supply their distributors with a sample-sized product to try. In the event that there are no samples, then I would suggest you buy the smallest size of the product available in order to give it your full evaluation. In most cases, once you break the seal on the product, it can't be returned. So to try a product, don't buy a gallon. You won't believe how many people do that. They've never tried a product before. They buy a gallon of it. They use it three times, and then they want to return it. You can't do that. It's opened and it's contaminated. So the smart thing to do would be to buy the smallest container possible until you found the product that you want. Even if you've used the same lubricant for years, it never hurts to branch out and see what else the market has to offer. It's like going into a grocery store, into the produce section, and saying, you know, I've only ever eaten potatoes. I can only eat potatoes. There's nothing else, a variety that interests me. How can that be? There's so many flavors. There's so many colors. There's so many scents. There's so many properties. There's so many new things that all these products can bring thanks to the technology and the competitiveness in that marketplace, that price point is definitely a competition point. Workability is a competition point. The ingredients are certainly a competition point. And all of these are designed to give the therapist greater flexibility. And these products are professional grade because they're designed with your constant immersion in mind. So your hands are going to be in and exposed to this product for all day, I mean 5 hours a day in some cases, 6 hours a day. So you're going to want to try, get a significant sample, a big enough sample to try this product over more than just one or two uses, because if you're used to one thing and you try something different, human nature says, eh, I don't like it. It's not what I'm used to and I don't like it. Give it more than once or twice to try it, because you may find that there's benefits to using a different product more than what you had expected in the first place. So branch out. Go for it. Try it. You're not disloyal. You're not doing anything wrong. It's not going against everything you were taught. It certainly shows signs of being a savvy shopper, and comparison shopping makes you savvy. So that's all on the product side. There's many, many, many other products that I could talk about and in regards to professional-grade products, from warmers to blankets to stone heaters, to you name it, and perhaps another time I'll have an opportunity to explain and talk about those items. But for now, let's talk about some other ideas about other ways that you can save money apart from buying the professional grade products. Next slide, please. We should be on the slide that says, so what can you do to save even more money? Being an educated buyer is certainly a huge step in making better use of your resources. But there's more you can do to save money in the workplace and at home. In the following, we'll take a look at a number of ways to make the most of your funds and be certain that they're being put to the best possible usage. Next slide, please. How much you buy makes a big difference. I can't tell you how many therapists call me and they say, hey, money is tight, I need to buy an 8-ounce bottle of this and an 8-ounce bottle of this. And they call me every other week because they've gone through it. But they think they're saving money because they bought the 8-ounce bottle. But what they're forgetting is they're shipping, and that's going to add cost to the product. Whereas if you can buy enough, if you can forecast your needs for a 3 to 6 month period, you can save money by buying the larger sizes of products. So buying in bulk, just as we do with our groceries, makes perfect sense. When you order your supplies, do you buy enough for only right now, or do you plan for at least 3 to 6 months? Once you know which products will suit your needs, buying in larger quantity or bulk can save you money on your shipping and supply expenses. And all it costs you is just a little bit of storage space. And really, to save $40 to $50 a month on shipping, it's worth it to find a little place in the closet to keep the extra so that you have an ample supply on hand. By doing this also, it keeps you from having to go in the ninth hour and buy a substandard product that you typically wouldn't have bought any other time from a Whole Foods store or a health food store or even from the grocery store, because you don't have to do that. If you're planning in enough advance for your product usage, then it's going to save you money really in the long run. Next slide, please. Oh, this is one of my favorite things. This is a hard lesson for me to learn, too. How you pay for your supplies makes a big difference, too. I know therapists that have a card over here. They sometimes pay cash. Sometimes they do this. Sometimes they do that. And at the end of the day, when they're trying to reconcile and figure out where their money went, it's almost impossible. So do you have a dedicated credit card for your gas and your supplies? If you don't, you should consider using one single card for your business purchases. Ideally, one that's going to reward you for purchases made with either cash back rewards, airline points, or other discount incentives. Making your purchases on the same credit card each time can make accounting far easier and can help you in a huge way at tax time. Next slide, please. Next thing we want to talk about is, how do you advertise? You know, how do you advertise when you're on a shoestring? There's a ton of ways you can. You don't have to take out the full-page ad. You don't have to take out a commercial on the public access radio stations. You don't have to do all of that. There's a lot of different cool things that you can do. You could consider advertising in a church bulletin. Church bulletins go out every Sunday, and they go out to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in your community. So especially in smaller communities, you can look for also smaller community publications. Like here in Atlanta, we have Creative Loafing. I think that's probably a national thing here in the States. I don't know about in Canada, however. But I'm sure that you would find the smaller offshoot periodicals that you can take out an ad, and it doesn't cost a fortune because they're small community periodicals. Think about sponsoring a little league team. I mean, an investment of $500 can get your name on some jerseys or have a banner at each one of their softball games or little league games. A Girl Scout event, you could sponsor a Girl Scout event, a Kiwanis Club meeting. You know, go to your Chamber of Commerce luncheons, go network, do charity events. You wouldn't believe the exposure you get for charity events. And no, we don't do things for charity because we want exposure. However, it's not a bad benefit. And if it can get your name out in the community as a leader, as a thought leader, as someone who's involved in your community, a community supporter, as well as an informed person and a subject matter expert on massage, well, then it's a win-win for everybody. All of these suggestions can begin the circulation of your name in the community with a tremendous amount, without a tremendous amount of monetary investment. So overall, going after these little smaller venues, even do some reciprocal trade out with exposure in regards to maybe you put your business cards at your chiropractor's office if he doesn't have a massage therapist on staff, or contact your chiropractors and see if you could get their referral business. There's a ton of ways that you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get that exposure and to gain that business. Next slide, please. This is kind of somewhat controversial, and I hope that hope I'm not offending anybody, but customer service really does apply to massage therapy too. There are those who don't want to think of massage therapy in this way, and I totally understand that. As being in the massage industry, I don't want to think it's a service profession, but you know what? Your clients think of it as a service profession. Massage is definitely therapeutic, but it is also a service. And when you're comparing the service from one therapist to another, that's when the customer service aspect comes into play. So keeping your clients happy and feeling like you provide value is paramount to the success and promotion of your practice. Everyone likes to feel special. So with proper intake, with capture their birthdays, capture their children's name,
you know, if they say in conversation with you, hey, I'm going to my sister's 50th wedding anniversary, as soon as they leave, go mark it on their file. And then this time next year, hey, don't forget your sister's anniversary. Have you bought her anything yet, or is it her birthday? Would you like to purchase a gift certificate for her? It's a quick and easy thing, and I'm happy to do it for you. It's a great marketing tool so that you can prompt your client to buy gift certificates or to schedule appointments for loved ones, so that you can kind of capitalize on the fact that you've taken good notes and you're also providing good service. Everybody likes to feel special. The next slide, please. A few ways to keep clients coming back in a steady stream. How do you retain them? Well, retaining clients is cost effective. I mean, it's costly to go out and gain a new client. If you've got someone who's come to you, they've trusted in you, they've engaged you for a massage, then that's the client that you want to capitalize on. You've already spent the money to get them. They're already doing business with you. How do you get them to stay? How do you get them to come back? It comes down to a few things, not the least of which, customer service. Do you have a database for your client information that's readily accessible? This is going to allow you to remember the personal details and specifics about each of your clients' needs. Have you developed a method of regularly reaching out to your clients through emails, postcards, or phone? You can use the database that you've created, that you're keeping. You can look through once monthly and say, okay, Sally's husband has a birthday, and Joe's cousin has a birthday, and this person's anniversary is this date, and spend 15 minutes writing handwritten postcards reminding the people, hey, I'm here. Great for birthdays. If you haven't seen you in a while, would love to see you, please come by for 10% off your massage. You can use this information that you've collected in your database to market to these people specifically, and a handwritten note goes a long way. I love getting handwritten notes. It means more to me to get a handwritten note than a quick email blasted off or anything automated. I think a handwritten note is, I don't think that will ever go out of style, and it's put you apart, set you apart from everyone else. You cared enough to sit down and write the note. Do you offer incentives for your customer referrals? If you haven't started doing that, please do. Your business card is a great tool for this. If you are handing out business cards, you should always have them on you at any time because it's a walking, talking advertisement. But if you have a call to action of sorts on the back, utilize the back side of that card too. You're paying to have it printed. Pay a few pennies more and get the back of it printed as well with a referral. Give your client a handful of business cards, and on the back have their name. If they give it to their friends and they bring back three friends come and book with you because of a referral, word-of-mouth referral that initial client has given you, give that initial client a free massage. What's going to incentivize folks more? You could pay them with money, but I tell you what, they'd rather get a massage. So certainly you can utilize the back of those cards and leave them everywhere. When you check out of a hotel, leave your business card. If you're paying your bill at the local Mexican food restaurant, leave a business card. You never know where your next client is going to come from. Somebody is going to always need a massage, and you don't know when you're going to find them. You don't always find clients in the most obvious places. So certainly your business card is a tremendous customer referral component. Another way to cut your costs overall for the year is to look at what you're paying for rent and for overhead for your brick-and-mortar location. Next slide, please. Nobody wants to lose a good tenant. Here in the States, we're having a home crisis like you wouldn't believe. We're looking at businesses moving out left and right, which leaves all of these business owners, all of these strip mall owners, all of these office parks with empty locations. So if you work on a brick and mortar basis and you go to work every day to your office, and you're paying rent to the same guy, and you negotiated your rent a year ago when the business was booming, now it's a little slower, that landlord is not going to want to see you move out. So if you're coming up for renewal in the next 6 months, it's not a bad idea to approach your landlord and say, you know, we need to have a talk. If I can stay here, I'll sign a lease, but I've got to have the reduced rent. And then when the economy turns, maybe we can revisit it. But for right now, the options could be that I have to move out. So I would like to reduce the rent, and chances are they're going to take you up on that because they'd rather take a reduced rent because something is better than nothing. And in these economic times, they are trying to make a living just like we are. So certainly they're going to be very interested in trying to retain you as a tenant. And by negotiating that rental rate, that can certainly go a long way to your longevity there. That can significantly save you money by year end if you could cut your rent by even 25%, even 10%. Think about that over the year. That's a significant savings. So certainly don't discount that as an opportunity for you to save money in the long run. Talking about ways to save money and to gain back some of what you've put out, one of the biggest things I can say, if you've got the space, next slide, please, I'm sorry. If you've got the space at home and you can work and you have a brick and mortar, if you've got the space at home to go home and work and you think that that's going to be feasible for your practice, do this if you can. But be sure that you've got your home massage room set up in a place that's quiet, away from the dogs barking, away from the baby crying. It needs to be a cocooning place that is secluded and quiet for the comfort and the security of your client. They need to walk in and, you know, not find your laundry stretched all over the floor. You still need to maintain a professional appearance. But if you can do this at your home, it can only save you money in the long run. Next slide, please. Do you need to save receipts? Wow, everybody talks about receipts. Unless you just like throwing the money away, unless it's just a fun thing for you to do, save your receipts. That's everything you buy for your business is fodder for reimbursement. And that's up to your accountant to make that decision on what's reimbursable and what isn't. But if you haven't saved any receipts, you don't even have a jumping off point from which to begin. So certainly I would say that the best advice I can give you is save everything from every business lunch to every gas receipt to if you go buy a single tea bar, it doesn't matter how small the purchase, save your receipt. Unless you can say yes to all of the questions below, it's safe to say that you need an accountant to be able to take care of some of this for you. And next slide, please. Do you know all of your state and federal allowances for deductions? Do you know if they're the same? Are you a certified public accountant? Can you deduct the cost of your CEUs? What about your business trips? Do you know the percentage of your rent mortgage that may be deductible if you work from home? Can you deduct for your home renovations if you work from home? Do you know the current allowance for mileage? Can you deduct car maintenance? Do you know how to itemize? What do you do if they call you for an audit? Well, now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all all have the answers for that. I do not. I have an accountant who handles that for me because I'm not that smart. I don't know everything, and I don't want to know all of that, not when there's a resource and an accountant that I can go to, and they can manage that for me. That makes my job very simple. I worry about what I do best, which is my job, and he worries about all of the rest. As long as I'm providing all of the receipts, it's their job to fish through that, find out what's deductible. It's their job to take over that responsibility and take that off your hands. So you could be saving a fortune simply by investing in an accountant. So I would certainly think, next slide, please, that overall, when you look at the money that you spend on an accountant, as opposed to trying to do your taxes yourself and fumbling through or perhaps even putting yourself in the line of fire for an IRS audit, accountants are money well spent. Why take the needless chance? Why leave money on the table? And why would you ever want to be risking the opportunity for an audit? Find a CPA to handle the tax and accounting portion of your business, specifically when it comes to filing your taxes. They're not expensive when you consider that they may even pay for themselves with the deductions that they could find. The biggest benefit you will now have is an ally if the IRS plucks you from the masses for an audit, it's not fun to be audited. I've been audited. It's just not fun. So it's nice to have someone that can stand beside you and take the heat and answer those questions the way they need to be answered by an accountant. So certainly take the money, spend it. It's very well worth it. So this brings me to the next slide, which is really the conclusion of my presentation. So taking the time to consider some of the items discussed in this series segment could spark other ideas of your own. You may come up with a number of new ideas that can help you save money, cut your expenses without compromising your practice or professional appearance. Making sound product choices is just as important as making sound business decisions. To me, I think those are one and the same. Everything about your business is a candidate for cost savings. Just remember to cut your costs wisely and to always be certain that you're offering quality service, professional products, and a relaxing experience for your clients. You know, saving money is not being skimpy. It's just really plain smart. I thank you for your time. I hope that you've been able to pull from this presentation some little kernels that will assist you in saving a little bit of money in your practice. And I'm open to any questions that you might have. I'm looking forward to speaking with you. So thank you so much, and thank you for having me and taking the time to listen to this presentation.
Awesome. Andy, thank you. That was a really great detailed description of certainly choosing massage tables and the lubricant piece of the product. And like you said, there's probably a million other products that you could go over. But it certainly gets us started in the direction of really learning to figure out what our needs are, and then going and looking at the products that are going to fulfill those needs. And the difference between, as you had mentioned, you know, the professional grade quality products, you know, in the client safety and in our own safety, and how critical that is in choosing that. And all of the other tips that you gave us on all of the other things are going to be really helpful. And I want to pass it over to one of my co-hosts, who is going to be asking the questions that have been coming in as he's been presenting.
Well, thank you very much, Melanie. Hi, Angie. It's Scott.
I've got
a number of questions I wanted to go over with you today, and I just want to say I really loved your presentation. It was very informative. First question comes from Jonathan in Buffalo, and he asks, if I'm going to carry products in my clinic, what products should I start with?
Well, it depends on, first of all, I don't necessarily know the type of clinic. Do you have? It could be a chiropractic clinic, could be a wellness clinic. What you're going to want to look for if you're in a spa environment, let's just say that for first. If you're in a spa environment, the retail products that you're going to want to look for are similar to the ones that you're using on your back bar. Client gets up from the table, the idea is that they feel so good, they feel so relaxed. Oh, my goodness, what is the scent? How do I get some of this to take home? Easy to walk them to the front of the spa and say, oh, we have this for you to take home in an 8-ounce size. Great. There's some more money added to your bottom line. If you're in a medical environment, more chiropractic, more therapeutic environment, I would start, first of all, with analgesics. I think that this is a easy retailable product because the people come to us expecting us to help them with their pain. And a one-time massage is helpful, but giving them the tools to promote self-care in between visits and to alleviate the pain, that's what we're here to do. I mean, I think it's important to realize, yes, we all want repeat clients, but if they're coming to you in pain, you don't want to see them over and over again in pain. You want to help them get past that and on to the relaxation of it and the healthful ongoing benefits rather than just strictly for pain management. So to help them get over that hump, analgesics are a tremendous retail opportunity for you, as well as, you know, there's specific tools that you can use that can be utilized for self-care, for trigger point care when you're sitting at your desk. Those are great retail products, too, for your clinic. Certainly, don't hesitate to email me. This is kind of something that I really am passionate about. Feel free to email me at a later date, and my email, I'm sure, will be provided on the Massage Therapy Radio website, and I'll be happy to share with you some other ideas regarding great retail products for your clinic or your spa.
Well, that's fantastic, Angie. Just as an addition to that, there's another question from one of our listeners, and it was about training. You know, if people decide to carry products within their clinic or spa or chiropractic clinic or massage clinic, where can they get training on being able to explain these products to their end user, to their client?
I would suggest checking the websites are a miraculous thing. Check manufacturers' websites. Let's say you go to XYZ distributor and you've bought this product line and you're going to use this on your client. If you would like to get some techniques for your client's self-care, typically you can find those on the manufacturer's website. Now, the dealers won't always have this information. The manufacturer's websites are going to be the largest repository of data specific to that product type. So, in other words, we were discussing before we went live, we were discussing Biofreeze. Biofreeze is a great example of a manufacturer that will promote the technique and help you to share with your client how to use their product to the fullest expectancy of potency. So check their websites. Occasionally, you may be able to get information from your distributor's website. Also, I would ask that you go to the trade shows. Trade shows, if one comes to you or one is close enough to you to attend, oh my goodness, at the information you can gain about product usage there. Typically, people are handing out protocols left and right. There's classes going on. There's education in the booths. So there's always a way to get the information. Call the manufacturer. Ask them specifically, do you have any information or protocols that you can share with me? They will be happy to do that, because with your learning that technique or having that expertise, it just means more sales for their product in the long run. Why would they not want to support that? So certainly there are a number of ways that you can obtain that information. And again, if you'd like to contact me for some more information, I'd be happy to share that with you as well.
Well, you have so much great information, Angie, and I really love the idea of the products you use within your room. Those products, of course, are available at the clinic, so it's a really nice tie-in. One thing that I notice when I go to a really nice clinic or spa are the displays that they have their products on. I think that's a really strong selling feature, don't you?
I absolutely do. I think the one thing you need to think about, too, when you're going to decide to retail, throwing up any shelf with any product on it without rhyme or reason and no pricing and just willy-nilly, that's not going to retail your product for you. Think about what you look at when you go to the grocery store. Are all of the shelves fronted? And by that I mean, are all the products in line pulled to the face of the shelf? Is it well lit? Is it well marked? Is the product on the shelf free of dust? If it's been there a while and it's dusty, what's going to make me want to buy that product? If it's been there and long enough to collect dust, I'm going to be suspect of the cleaning habits of the therapist, not to mention the quality of that product that's sitting on the shelf. So you're absolutely right. The way that you display your product, you have to put on that retail hat and get out of the therapy mode for a minute and think about what's going to make them want to purchase that product. Not only is it going to be your suggestion and your recommendation, but it's got to be pleasing to the eye. It's got to be artfully presented. So you don't have to be an interior designer, but you do have to have some sense of symmetry, and definitely signage is important. People are often reticent to ask you for prices. If it's clearly marked, if it's tastefully done, clearly marked, they can shop for themselves, and you avoid that whole embarrassment of, as a massage therapist, many of us don't feel like it's right for us to charge money, and we do this because we love the profession. I've heard that a million times, but you know, all the good intention in the world is not going to pay your mortgage. So you've got to give yourself permission to make money. And oftentimes for a massage therapist, it's an uncomfortable situation when you have to discuss price. So you can take yourself out of that uncomfortable position and adequately sign your products with the appropriate pricing, and then your client can make an informed decision. They've got your recommendation. They know how much the price is. Chances are, if you've explained to them the usage, they're going to buy the product. If they choose not to, they're not embarrassed by handing you back the product and say, no, I don't think so at this time. It takes the embarrassment out of it, and especially for a massage therapist who is so focused on healing that perhaps the retailing side of it might not be their forte.
Well, Angie, I don't think anybody's more focused than you. Thank you so much. I have a couple more questions that I want to squeeze in. One is from Sheba, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, in St. Petersburg. In regards to the foam that you're using on a table, if you're dealing with a client, a heavier client or a woman that's more well-endowed, and if she wants that person wants deep tissue massage, what is the best density of foam needed?
I got a couple of suggestions for that. The density of foam on the table is not really going to make or break the comfort factor, especially if you're a large-breasted woman. I am also a large-breasted woman, not to get all up into my personal business, but I don't like going face down on a table without a comfort bolster or something to support my sternum. So there are bolsters that are made. One manufacturer that I won't name here, but you can go online and find it. It's a comfort bolster, and it's a strangely shaped little bolster. It's a wedge shape with two half moon cutouts that adequately protect and keep you comfortable. It supports your upper body when you're laying face down, and it keeps you comfortable so that you don't feel like you're smothering or you don't feel like you're being crushed. So really the foam density, not so much a big deal as the proper support. And those are additives that are really invaluable for the breadth of the people that you're going to deal with. You can deal with smaller clients, but if you've got these additives like the comfort bolster is a really good example. Then there's sidearm bolsters for the wider clients. If you've got a standard width table and you have a football player and you've got one football player, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go buy a new table. There are sidearm bolsters that can be added that can add as much as 8 inches to the width of your table only for that client. So there's a lot of additives when you're saving money by buying an economic table that's a professional grade. You're saving all of the bells and whistle money that you would have spent on a far more expensive table. You can use these things, use that money a little more wisely, and broaden the amount of people that you can see and cater to with the additives that you place on the table. That's a good question.
Well, thank you very much for that answer. It was very informative. I have another question from our friend Mike Hinkle from the World Massage Festival, and actually he's going to be our guest on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. And he says, could you tell us more about Sanctuary?
Oh, bless your heart, Mike Hinkle. That is a subject that is absolutely near and dear to my heart. The Sanctuary Project is a project that is a philanthropic project that raises money and awareness for massage therapy research. And this started about 3, maybe 4 years ago at the Atlanta National Convention for the AMTA. It was our first endeavor. And since that time, we've raised, over $30,000. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but over $30,000, maybe $40,000. For massage therapy research. And what we typically do at a trade show, we'll set up a virtual spa of sorts. We'll set up a little miniature spa specializing in foot treatments, 10-minute little foot treatments. And so for your $10 donation, you get a 10-minute spa-quality treatment utilizing stones or scrubs or hot and cold contrast, reflexology, Thai herbal balls. There's a ton of cool things that we do. And we also have a new addition. We're doing rejuvenating facelift massages where you can learn a little 10-minute technique that's in the scope of practice for most massage therapists. By doing this, we have corporate sponsors who provide us with product and monetary sponsorship to be able to continue to do this. The sponsors benefit because the therapist gets to try the products from the client's perspective. That's a new twist. We're all trying products from the therapist's perspective. What does it feel like when it's... That's something that we don't think about. So this gives us an opportunity to try that. In addition, it gives the massage therapist a chance to learn 10, maybe 15 different different protocols that you can add on to the end of the massage, any massage, that you can upcharge $10, $15, $25. So that's more black ink for that one client that you spent money to get on the table. And it's typically something that they would want to have done anyway. Who doesn't want to have their feet rubbed? I personally love it. And then with all the proceeds that we gather, this is the best part. It goes to further massage therapy research, which is really the foundation of what legitimizes what we do. Without the research that quantifies what we already know in our hearts, we all know that massage heals. This research truly is the most important thing we can do and give back to the community, to ensure that this industry is a long-term industry and not one that will wane over the years. With more research, it quantifies it medically, scientifically, that massage is good for you, and we're happy to be a part of that. Thank you so much for that question. Can you tell them a little passionate about Sanctuary?
You certainly are, and I love your passion, Angie. I hope we're going to see you up in Ontario again this year. We enjoyed having you up for the visit for the massage conference up here last year, so hopefully we'll see you again this fall. So Well, thank you so much. I'm going to turn it over to our host, Melanie, now.
Thanks very much, Scott, and appreciate everybody's questions. And, yeah, just speaking from experience about Sanctuary, it is a fabulous benefit. As a practitioner, when you're walking around a trade show all day, you know, to go and get a nice little hot stone foot massage. And I got this huge bottle of this fabulous soothing touch lotion as well that was donated. So it's a great cause and it's a great benefit all the way around. And
that's awesome. Thank you so much for saying so. I'm really proud of this project. And we couldn't do it without the support of the massage therapist, because that's really who it goes to benefit, is the massage therapy industry.
And I just want to encourage everybody again to download the notes that Angie prepared for us, because they have all of the detailed information that she shared with us tonight. And I really want to thank our guest Angie for spending lots of time with us this evening and sharing all this information.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Us. Really appreciate it. And this special World Massage Conference presentation is brought to you by Eric Brown, Scott Dartnell, Melanie Hayden, and our sponsors. We'd like to thank our global sponsor, Massage Envy. At Massage Envy, they take care of everything from marketing to schedules to supplies, so their therapists can totally focus on sharing their gift of touch with their members and guests. Visit massageenvycareers.com to apply for an exciting career in your area in the United States. We'd also like to thank our special presentation sponsor, Massage Warehouse. Massage Warehouse provides massage therapists and related industry professionals with the largest selection of quality products at a great value. Visit their website at massagewarehouse.com. And remember that you have until May 1st, 2009, so you still have a few months to access all of the amazing 2008 World Massage Conference program. So you'll find, well over 60 hours of presentations and tremendous resources there. And we're really looking forward to launching our new and extensive 2009 program on June 1st, so keep an eye out for that. On behalf of my World Massage Conference partners, Eric Brown and Scott Dartnell, and thanks again very much to our presenter, Angie Patrick. I'm Melanie Hayden. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a fantastic day.